Today's daf is Erev in Daf Pei Beis, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis, the two dots, Amar Rab Yehuda, Bamedvar, Mamurim, V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema, for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Chana Rivka Bas Faila, Rifal Mordechai Ben Gittel, and Chaim Naftali Menachem Ben Yendela. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus for Hatzlocha B'chol in Yonim, V'yecheskel Shraga Ben Miro. Today's daf is also being learned L'ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibodol L'chaim Toivim Ramosha Chaim. So the Mishnah and Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis said, Ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi. That if you want to sponsor an Erev on behalf of somebody else, that's fine. However, he has to give you permission. You can't assume that it's in this person's interest for him to have an Erev and then go ahead and be menadiv the Erev on his behalf. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah commented on that. He said, "Bamed var mamur. When is it true that ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi? That's be'eruvei tchumen. Aval be'eruvei chatzeros, as it relates to eruvei chatzeros, ma'arvin la'daitoi v'shaloi la'daitoi. You can make an eruvei chatzeros for somebody, even if he doesn't know about it. The reason is, it's a shas principle. L'fi shezochen la'adam shaloi b'fanov, ve'ein chavin la'adam shaloi b'fanov. Eruvei Chatzeros is a schos. What's the downside of being a member of an Eruvei Chatzeros? Eruvei Tchumen could potentially have downside, assuming that you're interested in your Alpayim Amo moving to where the Erev is, then yeah, certainly it's something that would benefit you. But let's say you're not interested. In that case, it would be a chayv. So Rabbi Yehuda said that when Chazal said, "Ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi b'med varam amurim." When is that true? Be'eruvit chumim. However, as it relates to eruvit chatzeris, that's not going to be the case. The first topic of today's daf is going to discuss whether there's a machloikis in the Mishnah. Meaning, are there two opinions? The Tanakhama said, "Ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi." The Tanakhama didn't differentiate between eruvit chatzeris and eruvit chumim. So perhaps the Tanakhama holds that just like you need a person's das in order to make a eruv tchumen on his behalf, maybe you would need a person's das in order to make a eruv chatzeres on his behalf as well. On that, Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, "No, but medvar mamurim be eruv tchumen. Avol be eruv chatzeres is a schus v'zachin la'adam shaloi b'fanav." Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda wasn't coming to argue with the chachamim; rather, he was coming to be mefarish the chachamim, and he was simply saying that the chachamim made a very general statement. Ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi. It could be a little misleading. It sounds like all eruvin, whether it's a eruvit tchumen or a eruvit chatzeres. So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Let me tell you what my chaverim felt. Let me tell you what the chachamim hold. Ba'med dvarim amurim be'eruvit tchumen, avu be'eruvit chatzeres ma'arvin." Either way, zok the gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, halacha Rav Yehuda. The halacha is like Rav Yehuda, meaning we paskin like what Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that the only time ein ma'arvin la'adam ela midaitoi is by eruvit chumim, but eruvit chatzeros ma'arvin l'daitoi v'shaloi l'daitoi. V'loy oy, Rabbi Yehuda continued, and he said that I heard from Shmuel something else, that kol makom shoshana Rabbi Yehuda by eruvin halacha k'moisai, that any time Rabbi Yehuda said anything in Masechtas Erevin, the halacha is like him, meaning every single Rabbi Yehuda Masechtas Erevin, we paskin like. Amalei Rabbi Chana b'gdesol Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chana, Big Desa, asked Rav Yehuda, tell me, Amar Shmuel afilu b'mavui shenitlu koyroisoiv olichayoy. Rav Yehuda said that I heard from Shmuel that Talocha is always like Rav Yehuda when it comes to Erevin. So Rav Chana, Big Desa, wanted clarification. He said, did Shmuel say it even in the halachos of koyra and mechitza? Or did he only mean it in the halachos that deal with the Erev? What's the Erev? So we mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta that there's a misnomer. People translate the white string that you'll see sometimes in areas that are gated with an Erev as being the Erev. But Beloshen Chazal, that was not the Erev. The Erev was considered the Suda. It was the Mazon Shtei Sudais. So much so that Rav Chana Big Desa asked Rav Yehuda, that when Shmuel said the halacha is always like Rav Yehuda by Erevin, did he mean even with regards to the white string? Meaning maybe that's not Erevin. Maybe that's Mechitzas, and maybe Mechitzas is different. And amazingly, Amalei, Rav Yehuda told him, Be'erevin amarti lecha v'loi b'mechitzas. No, I only said that Shmuel paskin like all the Rav Yehudas as it relates to Erevin. Erevin means mazin shtei sudas. As it relates to the two poles and the white string, the Tzuras HaPesach and the Koira and the Lechi and all of that, no, with regards to that, it's not muchach that the halacha is always going to be like Rav Yehuda. But regardless, Shaylas. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah. Again, not to confuse Rav Yehuda the Amoira and Rav Yehuda the Mishnah. This is Rav Yehuda the Amoira, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda the Tan. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav the Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'Rei Rav asked Rav Ashi halacha b'chal the plik. From the fact that Shmuel had to say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, it implies that Shmuel held that there's a machloikus in our Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said ein ma'arvin l'adam elamid daitoy. They didn't distinguish between a ruve tchum and a ruve chatzeres. Must be they hold even a ruve chatzeres ein ma'arvin l'adam elamid daitoy. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda argued and said, no, a ruve chatzeres zachen l'adam shalei b'fanav. But he said, could that be? Meaning, is it true that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, "Kamakum shamar Rabbi Yehuda emasai ubameh." Anytime Rabbi Yehuda says in Shas, either the word emasai or bameh, meaning he's coming to qualify something that had been previously said. So the Tana made a comment, or the Chachamim made a comment, and on that Rabbi Yehuda said, "Emasai, when is that true? Or bameh, when is that true?" But regardless, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that anytime Rabbi Yehuda the Tana said the word emasai or bameh, ena yalla lefarish divrei Chachamim. He's only coming to be mefarish. So why would Shmuel have to say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, implying that there's two opinions? Thus Shmuel needs to be machriya and tell us what Allah is like. We have a Messiah from Rabbi Shua ben Levi who said that anytime Rabbi Yehuda said a masai or bameh, he's coming to be mefarish. He's not coming to argue. And in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, bameh devar mamurim. He said the word bameh. That's a magic word. It means that he's not coming to argue. So why Shmuel have to say there's a machlokes? But the Gemara says, v'loy pligi, how could you ask such a kasha? Meaning, you're telling me you have a tzad that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the Chachamim, and everybody holds side Rabbi Yehuda and side the Chachamim, that a ruvich hatzeres is a schos and zachen l'adam shloi b'fanav anan t'nan. We learned in the previous Mishnah, and we already had a snippet of this shak levitaria on yesterday's dafni toisfo aleihem. What would be if an a chatzer made a ruvich hatzeres, and then people came and they moved into the neighborhood? So the halacha is moisef u'mezakef. One person wants to sponsor the additional food that these new residents need, he could do it, but it's aruch l'idea. But he has to notify them. So what do you see? You have to notify for a ruvei chatzeres. It's clearly implying that you don't simply say zachon l'adam shloi b'fanav. I, Rabbi Yehuda, said you do say zachon l'adam shloi b'fanav. Teres says this is the chachamim talking. So you see, it is a machleik so b'hidin chachamim. So what's the maksha asking that? Rabbi Shmuel said, halacha Rabbi Yehuda mechal d'pligi. What do you mean? Of course they're pligi. How else are you going to learn the previous Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, it's not muchach, because maybe that Mishnah was talking about hasam b'chasash b'en shnei mevois. Maybe it's from a very specific case. A specific case where it's true that it's not a schus necessarily for this person to join the Erev. Because maybe he lived in a house that was in between two chatzeres. So really he has a choice to join this chatzer or join that chatzer. So if you're going to make the decision on his behalf, it's not muchach that that's what he would want. And as a result, you'll have a problem with it not necessarily being a schus, but maybe in a classic case, he would agree. So don't bring a raya from that Mishnah, because maybe that's a Mishnah where even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Maybe that's a Mishnah where it's not a schus. But the Gemara says, we can learn Pshat of the Mishnah that way. Yesterday's daf, because Rav Shizbi said in the name of Rav Chizda, Zaysim Erez Chalukin Alav Chaveir, Rabbi Yehuda, he proved from that Mishnah, not that we're talking about a specific Eichim Kimta, where it was a chatzit Shemein Shnei Mevois, but rather, it's talking about a classic Hakimta, and the Chachamim, in fact, argue with Rabbi Yehuda. So the bottom line is what do you see? You see that Rav Chizda, for sure, understood that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And being that Rav Chizda understood there's a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, so it's certainly fair to say that maybe Shmuel also held it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and that's why Shmuel said halacha Rabbi Yehuda, because he understood that there were really two opinions, and Shmuel had to be machriya to tell us what the halach is, and he went and he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Aye, what was the Gemara's kasha? The cheshbin was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said kol makom she'amar Rabbi Yehuda e masai or bameh ene yalo lefarish divrei Chachamim, and in this Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said bameh, which would imply then, at least according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there is no machloikis. So what's going on here? Elo, the Gemara says, Gavra, Gavra Karamis, that's a kasha. You can't ask a kasha on Shmuel from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Shmuel was an Amoira, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was an Amoira. And being that they're both Amoiram, you can't ask a kasha from one to the other. Meaning, Marasavar pligi, Umarasavar loy pligi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that anytime Rabbi Yehuda says the word bameh, he's not arguing. Thus, in our Mishnah, there would be no machloikis. Shmuel holds no. Just because Rabbi Yehuda said the word bameh, it could be there is a machloikis. How could there be two start whether there's a machloikus or not? How are you going to learn the previous Mishnah? The previous Mishnah said tarach lo'idea. So either you could, if you hold like Shmuel, you hold that they're arguing, so you'll say that Mishnah, Enochinami, is the Chachamim of our Mishnah. And therefore, that Mishnah is taka of the opinion that there's a machloikis, and we're going that you can't make it Rufa Chatzer Shalom Yidaitai. If you hold like Rabbi Shobin Levi that there is no machloikis, so what do you do with the previous Mishnah? You make an Akimta. It's talking about where it was a Chatzer Shabin Shnei Mavoya. It's a very specific case where Enochinami, it's not necessarily a Chaskuf. I'm Rabbi Shobin Levi. So we just mentioned Rabbi Shobin Levi's halacha, so we're going to digress for a few lines. Whoever Rabbi Yehuda said the word Emasai or Bameh, he's coming to be Mefarish the Chacham. Rabbi Yechanan said Emasai Lefarish, where Rabbi Yehuda said, use the word emasa, he's coming to be mefarish. Ubameh lachloik, but where he said the word bameh, there he's coming to argue. So the gemara of emasa the farish, is that true? Is the emasa always le farish? So up until this point, we were discussing Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, who didn't use the word emasa, rather he used the word bameh. And we said that even though Rabbi Shua ben Levi said Bameh is always Lefarish, clearly Shmuel and Rav Chisda held not that way. Now the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about the other magic word. The word Emasai. For the Gemara, is it true? Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, and everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan, that Emasai is always Lefarish for Tanam and Mishnah, a well-known Mishnah. The Eilu Heina Psulim, the following are people that are possible to say Eidos, HaMesachik Bekuvya, a gambler. Umalva Beribis, self-explanatory. Umafricha Yoinim, another type of gambler. V'soicher ishvias, also self-explanatory. All these people are possible. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, emasa. When is this true? And again, he used the magic word, emasa, b'zman she'im lo umnes elohi. When is a gambler possible eidos if he doesn't have a job? Meaning, what do you do for a living? I'm a professional gambler. That person is possible eidos. Aval yesh lo umnes elohi. But a person that has another job, this is just a side thing that he does. Then the halach is a reza kasher. He's going to be kasher. It's very big kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda said, "I'm a sachik bekuvya and I'm a fricha yoinim." The only time they're possible eidos is if this is the only thing they do. But if they have something else going on the side, or if this is what they have going on the side, in that case, they're not going to be possible eidos. The pshat and sheet is Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the reason masachik bekuvya is possible eidos is because he's enei oisik biyeshuva shalaylam. If he has a job, then he is oisik biyeshuva shalaylam. He has an issue that maybe he has to address, the fact that he's a gambler, perhaps an addiction. But the point is, this is something that he does on the side. And as a result, he really is Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalaylam. So just because he has something that he does that maybe is not necessarily so okay, but that doesn't disqualifying him from being kosher. But the Gemara says, "V'tani alo, we have a brayso that said the Chachamim Maimrim bein she'ein loy umnes Elohi, bein she'yesh loy umnes Shalohi, areiz apostle." Chachamim say, "No, if someone's mesachik bekuvya, he's always going to be possible eidos." Now we're not going to go into this now, but the Gemara says, "Why would a mesachik bekuvya be possible eidos if he is oisik b'yeshuv v'shalom?" Rabbi Yehuda said a mesachik bekuvya is possible eidos because he doesn't have a job. If he has a job, there's no reason he should be possible eidos. What did the Chachamim hold? Even if he has a job, no, he's a 9-to-5, he earns a living. But at the same time, he is someone that is mesachik bekuvya, even recreationally. That in and of itself is a reason that it should be possible eidos. The reason is because the Chachamim hold that a mesachik bekuvya is a gazlan. Because when two people make a bet, they both think that they're going to win. And even though at some point they may not have a choice but to pay up, but they're doing it ostensibly against their will, and therefore Chazal said that when you take money from someone, even though he gives it to you, but if he doesn't really want to give it to you deep down, asmachta loikanya, and the halacha is you're considered a galzin. But what we need is one thing. We're not learning the sugya of psulei eidos, we're not learning the sugya of gazlin, we're not learning the sugya of mesachik bekuvya. We're just learning the sugya of when Rabbi Yehuda uses the word emasai. Is he coming lefarish? Is he coming to argue? In this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said the word emasai. Ve'elohin apsulim ha-mesachik bekuvya ma'ava b'rips ma'frich ha-mesachik reshvis. Om Rabbi Yehuda emasai bezman she'en lo yumnes elohi. And we know it's a machloikis, because the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hey, Masai, if he doesn't have a job," Chachamim said, "It's not true. Bein she'ein lo yumnes, elohi bein she'ein lo yumnes, shloi yareiz apostle." So you see, Rabbi Yehuda used the word "Hey, Masai," and still he's arguing. It's not like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. It's not like Rabbi Yochanan, who both said that every single time Rabbi Yehuda said the word "Hey, Masai," he's coming to be mefarish. He's clearly not coming to be mefarish. So the Gemara says, "No, I hear the Rabbi Yehuda amar Rab Tarfani," meaning Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah of Elohein Absulim Amsachi Bekuvya was coming to be mefarish the Chachamim. He wasn't coming to argue. That Mishnah stating one shita. The cash is, we have a Braisa that's stating another shita. Okay. The Braisa stands another shita. But the Braisa is not the Tanakam of the Mishnah. Pasha, you would learn, the Braisa is the Tanakam of the Mishnah. I have a Tanakam and a Rabbi Yehuda.
it seems a little like they're arguing. I have a braisa where it's clear there's another opinion. So doesn't it make sense that Tanakama, the Mishnah, is the time of that braisa? The Gemara says no. Really, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah are one and the same. How do I know? Because Rabbi Yehuda said the word Hemasai. And whatever Rabbi Yehuda said the word Hemasai is being mefarish. Bameh is negotiable. It's debatable. But Hemasai for sure means mefarish. I, there's a braisa. That braisa is not the Tanakama, this Mishnah. Who is it? It's Rabbi Yehuda Amirab Tarfin, the Tanya, another classic shita. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rab Tarfin. Rabbi Yehuda said the name Rab Tarfin. Well, Oylam Ein Echamei Hamnazer, Lefisha Ein Nazirus, Ela Lahafla. Maisa Shahaya, Kachaya. There were two people that were sitting next to each other. A Yid passed by, and they got into an argument whether this person is a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. So, one person said, Ruvain, if he's a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. The other one said, really? If he's not a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. Now, one of them should be a Nazir, because either he is a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. Reb Tarfin says a Chiddush that's quoted a lot in the Sechtes Nazir. Reb Tarfin says that, no, ein echad mehem Nazir, neither of them are Nazirim. Why? Lefisha ein Nazirus ala laflo. Unless it's clear at the time that I'm a Kabbal my Nazirus, that I'm going to be a Nazir, you can't be a Nazir. So if someone says, I reini Nazir, he knows he's going to be a Nazir. Stam Nazir Islam and Yom. So for 30 days, he's out of commission. He's a Nazir. That's a bitores vadai. When he said, I reini Nazir, he became a Nazir. But if it's unclear at the time that the person said, I reini Nazir, whether he will be a Nazir or he won't be a Nazir, Reb Tarfin says, if we're not 100% sure at the time of the hafla, at the time of your dibur, at the time that you spoke your Naziris, your bitui, you're not going to be a Nazir. What's the svara? Alma, keep the masafkli Nazir Eloi, Nazir. Because we assume that there was no real Gemiris Das. There's no Das to be Mekabel Naziris unless you know for sure you're going to be a Nazir. So the Gemara says, Hacha Nami, so too as it relates to a gambler. When two people come together and they wage a bet, being that the person thinks he's going to win, so even when he gives it, he was really like Gomer Makni, and as a result, this of course comes into the sugya of Asmach Tekanya, Asmach Tekanya, like we mentioned earlier. The point is the fact that we have a Chachamim that say, Beisha'im lo'um nesel'ahi, ben she'esh lo'um neshalayi, doesn't necessarily mean that the Chachamim is the Tanakama, the Mishnah, the Sachet, the Kuvio, and that's a raya that a Masai is lachlik. A Masai really means lafarish. Who then is the Tan of this Braisa that says, ben she'esh lo'um nes, ben she'esh lo'um nes? It's a whole different Tan. It's Rav Yudin, the name Rav Tarfin, who said, Ein echad mehem nazir, l'fisha'ein naziris ella lahafla, just like in Naziris Allah flaw, the same is going to be true when it comes to Chayshon Mishpat. Hadron Allah Chalom. Zok the Mishnah. Ketzan Mishtatfin, the eighth parak of Mesech Dezervin, which very much picks up where the previous Prakim left off. Meniach es Achaviz, if somebody wants to go and he wants to make an Erev Truman on behalf of an Oilam. So it's interesting. The Mishnah uses the word Mishtatfin, but we're discussing Truman. It's pretty clear. We don't mean Shitufei Mevayas. Rather, we mean Eruvei Truman. So if somebody wants to be Menadev Eruvei Truman on behalf of an Oilam, he can. And what he can do is he can take a Chavis and make the following declaration. Areza L'chol Bnei Iri. This should be for everybody in my city. L'chol Mishayelech L'beis Avel or L'beis Mishta. Anyone that's going to want to go to a Beis Avel, to go to a Beis Mishta. Thus, he's going to have to go outside Alpayim Amu. He's going to need the Erev. I'm giving the Erev on behalf of everybody. V'chol Shekib Elohim B'Yayim. Mutter, any person that then decides that he wants to be a party to this Erev, as long as he makes that decision before Ben Ashmashes, while it's still day, so he's going to be included. Mishatechshach, once it's night already, Aser, She'em Arba Mishatechshach. You can't join an Erev at night. You have to join an Erev before Shabbos. You can't join an Erev once it's Shabbos. So two things. Number one, that's Pashit. This Mishnah is talking about a Eruv Tchum. So even though the Mishnah says one person can go and on behalf of a whole Olam, he could be Maniach as Achavis and say, Hareza L'chol Bnei Iri, it's very kind of him. But he has to make sure that the people that are going to use the Erev knew about it and they agreed to it. Because even though we just had a whole Sugya, a Machlekes from Yudan the Chachamim, or maybe not a Machlekes from Yudan the Chachamim, whether Eruvei Chatzeros is considered a schos, thus I can include you in my Eruvei Chatzeros without you knowing, because of Zachon La'adam Shalei B'Fanav, that's only with regards to Eruvei Chatzeros. As it relates to Eruvei Tchumim, there's no Shaila. Eruvei Tchumim is for sure a Chayiv, or maybe, anyways, and as a result, Zachon La'adam Shalei B'Fanav, but Ve'in Chavon La'adam Shalei B'Fanav. So that's Pashit, there's going to be no disagreement. Another diuk in the Mishnah, again, we're just learning Mishnayis now, another diuk in the Mishnah is the Mishnah didn't say anything about being Mezakeh to anybody else. When the Mishnah spoke about Eruvei Chatzeros, we made a very big deal about being Mezakeh. Who you be Mezakeh with, how you be Mezakeh, you give the money to the Chenveni, you give it to somebody else. Some interesting Gemaras that tied itself into real Shas Kloli Sugyas were all because Eruvei Chatzeros, it can't just take your food and use that as an Erev Chatzeres for somebody else. You would have to be mezakeh it first to everybody else, meaning have someone be a shliach to make a kinyan from you on behalf of them, now that they have ownership in it, now it could be used for Erev Chatzeres. But by Erev Chumah, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about it. And the Gemara already made this diak. And the Gemara said the Tana, the Mishnah is clearly of the opinion that although you have to be mezakeh Erev Chatzeres, you do not have to be mezakeh Erev Chumah. And the Gemara then said it was a machlokes amiram, whether we paskin like the Mishnah, just to rechazer the Gemara and Dafpeh and Aleph, Shmuel paskin like the Mishnah. Shmuel said, Eruv Chatzeres, you have to be mezakeh Eidei Yachar. Eruv Tchumi, you don't have to be mezakeh Eidei Yachar. Rav went just the opposite. Rav literally went the diametric opposite. Rav said, Eruv Chatzeres, you don't have to be mezakeh. Eruv Tchumi, you do have to be mezakeh, regardless of whether you have to be mezakeh. Not really is a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, but we're learning the Mishnah now, in the Stam Mishnah of Eruv Chatzeres, you have to be mezakeh. Then Eruv Tchumi, you don't have to be mezakeh. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Ein ma'arvin elu ledvar mitzvah. You could only make a Eruv Tchumen for a Dvar Mitzvah. We've seen this already, obviously. We're 80 blood into Masechta Seiravim. You could only make a Eruv Tchumen for a Dvar. You can't just make a Eruv Tchumen. If you want to be able to spatzir or maybe do something, you can't necessarily do it. If you're going to do a Dvar Mitzvah, that's where Eruv Tchumen was meant. Eruv Chatzeres has nothing to do with Dvar Mitzvah. Shtufi Mavais has nothing to do with Dvar Mitzvah. Eruv Tchumen is only the Dvar Mitzvah. Freak the Gemara. Why did Rabbi Yosef have to say this? Mike Kamashmalon, Tonino. It's the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? It gave examples of who would use Eruv Tchumen. L'chol mi sheyelech lebeis ha'avel. So what do you see? It has to be a Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, there's no hechrik from the Mishnah. I would have thought, Urcha the Mosuk Tani. Maybe the Mishnah is giving examples. Yeah, we assume Yidin. Why would they want an Erev Tchumen? To do an Aveira? No, to do a Mitzvah. So we assume it's for a Mitzvah. But Kamashmal and Rabbi Yosef, that it's not punked that the Mishnah mentioned examples of Mitzvah, but Dosa the Halacha. It has to be the Dvar Mitzvah. If it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, if it's a Dvar Rishos, you can't make a Eruv Tchumen. The Mishnah said, that if you want to partake in a Eruv Tchumen, you have to be mekabel to be part of the Eruv Tchumen B'Oyoyim. But if you aren't mekabel to be part of the Eruv Tchumen B'Oyoyim, you can't be part of it. Zok de Gemara, Shamet Mino, Lechura, can we bring a raya from here that ain Brera? Wow. The I Yesh Brera, Tigli Milsalim Afreya, the M'Oyoyim Havinichaleh. The Gemara asks an interesting kash. Again, every time you see Brera, it's intimidating because Brera is a hard sugya. But the Gemara says that, Lechur, if you hold Yesh Brera, why would you have to make the decision to be part of the Erev Shabbos? Don't make the decision Erev Shabbos. Make the decision on Shabbos. And when you decide on Shabbos, let's say, Gloy Milsalim Afreya, that really before Shabbos, this was something you wanted to do. From the fact that the Mishnah says you have to make the decision before Shabbos, Shamet Minozok to Gemara Ein Brera, L'chura, Am Rav Ashi, no. Hoydiyu, V'loy Hoydiyu, K'toni. Samuchach. Could be you really don't have to decide before Shabbos. You know why? Because Yesh Brera. The Mishnah said you have to. Said Rav Ashi, what the Mishnah meant was you have to know about it before Shabbos. So if you know about the Erev before Shabbos, you didn't make a decision, then when you decide on Shabbos, we can use Brera, Chiddush, to say that it's as if you decided already before Shabbos. That's fine. But if you didn't know about it before Shabbos, what's Brera going to do for you? Brera can't say that, oh, it's as if I made the Erev before you didn't even know about it. If you knew and you didn't decide, you need something before Shabbos to sink your teeth into, so that you can now use Brera to retroactively say that it went into effect from that point. But if there is no point before Shabbos, then how's Brera going to help you? So when the Mishnah says that you have, it didn't mean you have to decide. Hoydiyu v'loy hoydiyu, Tony. Maybe. If you hold Yesh Brera, if you hold Ein Brera, then Anachanami, you would have to decide. But regardless, there's no raya from the Mishnah, whether Yesh Brera or Ein Brera. Amar Rav Asi, Katan ben Sheish, a Katan that's 6 years old, Yoitze be'erev imay. So once a katan is 6 years old, he could already be yoitza with the erev of his mother. Meaning he doesn't need his own erev. Meaning what would be if you have a family? The family wants to make an erev. So l'chura, every member of the family is a separate individual. As a result, each member needs to be mishtatif individually to the erev. That's the assumption. So if every member has to give a certain amount of food, so every member of the family would have to give a certain amount of food. Right? There's no clause that says, oh, if you're a family, if you're related, so you count as one. No, even a family, every family member has to be mishtatif. However, Rav Asi said, there is an idea that a child can be so young that this child can be yoitza with the erev of his mother. How young? A katan that's ben sheish. Now, the truth is, there is a little bit of a discussion whether a katan ben sheish means the katan is 6 years old, or it means the katan's in the sixth year of his life, which means he's really only 5 years old. But just to keep it simple, a katan, that's ben sheish, 6 years old, he doesn't need his own erev, rather he could be yoytzen with the erev of his mother. A katan that needs his mother yoytzen the erev imoy, doesn't need it on his own muslin shtei sudos, but rather could be yoytzen with the erev of his mother, in the event that this katan is already a little older, meaning he doesn't need his mother anymore, then ain't yoytzen the erev imoy, then he can't be yoytzen with the erev of his mother. But now we went to the mishnah, so that was a brice, now a mishnah. Very similar halacha related to sukkah. A cotton that doesn't need his mother is chayv in sukkah. Meaning a cotton that needs its mother's potter from sukkah. So the cotton's also going to be potter from sukkah. Mother's potter from sukkah because the mitzvah says mangarama. So the child's also going to be potter from sukkah. But once the cotton's so old, doesn't need his mother anymore. So now there's a mitzvah schinach. He's not chayv in day rice. He's a cotton. But at least there's going to be a mitzvah schinach. So the Gemara says, what's the age or what's the definition of a cotton that doesn't need his mother? A kid can go to the bathroom and it doesn't need his mother to clean him up afterwards, he's already ain't tzarech limer. A child that wakes up, the ain't a kari ima. It doesn't call, say ima, doesn't call his mother. That's already an older child. Even older kids already will say ima. That's not a reason for, because the kid says ima means he's tzarech limer. That's the cutoff point. A kid that wakes up and says ima, that's his ima again. So that's tzarech limer. But once you're at the age when you don't say that anymore, you ain't a tzarech limer. Regardless, a braisa and a mishnah. The braisa is talking about Erevin. The Mishnah is talking about Sukkah. The Brice is talking about Erevin that says that katan she tzarech li'imoy yoytze be'erev imoy, v'she ein tzarech li'imoy, ein yoytze be'erev imoy. The Mishnah says the same thing regarding Sukkah. Katan that's ein tzarech li'imoy is chayv in Sukkah. Katan that's tzarech li'imoy is going to be potter from Sukkah. What's the definition of tzarech li'imoy and not tzarech li'imoy, both regarding Erevin and regarding Sukkah? So in the yeshiva of Rav Yana, they said if the child is old enough that it can go to the bathroom by itself. Reish Lakish said if the child is old enough that if it wakes up, it may say ima once, but it's not going to say ima ima. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have a similar dover, but tachlis, what's the age? Vekamo. So the Gemara says, kabar arba kabar chamesh, either 4 years old or 5 years old. What's the kasha? It's a kasha ravasi. Again, ravasi, the amoira, said that cotton ben sheish yoytze ve'erev ima. That when the cotton is 6 years old, then he can be yoytze with the erev of his mother. Clearly, if the cotton is younger than 6 years old, for sure it could be yoytz with the erev imoy. What's the age? It's up until 6 or up until 7. A katan ben sheish is yoytz with the erev imoy. We have a braisa that says that a katan is only yoytz with the erev imoy when he's tzarech li'imoy. Once he's not tzarech li'imoy, not. We have two definitions from the Shiva Rav Yanai and the Shiva Reish Lakish, but at the end of the day, we end up in the same place. 4 or 5. So it's not 6. Dr. Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Bereid Ravidi, Ki Kam Rav Asik, Yon Sheirav Olav, Ovav, Letzafim, V'ime Ledarim, Da'afilu Bar Sheish, Nami, Betzafse, De'ime Nichol. You have to say that Rav Asik was talking about something else. We misunderstood Rav Asik. We thought Rav Asik meant to say that at what point does a katan, could a katan be yoytze with the erev of his mother, meaning the katan doesn't need his own food? The answer to that is 6. Once, with the katan is 6, it can still be yoytze be'erevimai. Once it's older than 6, at that point, it can't be yoytze be'erevimai anymore. You see from Rice and Adler, the Gemara says, right, Rasi didn't mean that. Ravasi meant, what would be if a child's father made an erev letzofen, and the mother made an erev ledarim? So does it go with the father, or does it go with the mother? That's where Ravasi was coming to address, that very specific example. And the halach is that up until, or while the child is even still 6, we assume the child goes with the mother. Afterwards, it sounds like we assume the child goes with the father. But either way, this is what he was discussing. It was a completely different halacha. But the Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll ask you another kasha. A katan that needs its mother, yoytze be'erev imoy ad ben sheish, could be yoytze with the erev of his mother ad ben sheish, up until 6. Now, Rashi speaks a very important Rashi in Pshat Tova. And that is, Rashi says, that's pashut, that this braisa is talking about up until what point does the could the katan be yoytze with the food of his mother? Meaning, at what point will the katan now need his own food? That's what this braisa is talking about. Braisa can't mean what Rav Yeshua Breid Rav Idi just said Rav Asi means, where the father schlepping him in one direction and the mother schlepping in a completely other direction. Can't be what the braisa means. How do I know that, says Rashi? Because the lashon of the braisa is katan shetzarech li'imoy yoytze be'erev imoy. It's a subtlety, but it's geshmak. Ad ben sheish. What did Rav Asi say? Rav Asi said katan ben sheish, yoytze be'erev imoy. What did the braisa say? Ad ben sheish. What's the difference? Ad ben sheish means when the child is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ben sheish means we're talking about a child that's 6 years old. That's pashut, that when the child is 1, 2, 3, even 4 or 5, the that price on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Katan for sure doesn't eat his own food. So once that part of Ad Ben Sheish means the Katan doesn't eat food, so it's mistaber that 5 and 6, the latter part of Ad Ben Sheish means the same thing, and also means the Katan's not going to eat his own food. So that's Pashit said Rashi, that this Braisa Katan Shetzorach Le'imoy, Yoytze Be'erev Imoy, Ad Ben Sheish means what we initially thought Rav Asi meant, which is that a child up until six, could be yoytze with the food of his mother. So the chur doesn't stem with a lot of that we just said, and the Gemara is going to now try to reconcile this. Zok the Gemara. Number one, tiyufta the Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi tiyufta. That was easy. It's not like Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi Ravidi. What did Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi Ravidi say? He said that the braisa of Amri Dvei Rav Yana and Reish Lakish that had definitions of when a child is considered tzarech lima and not tzarech lima, which is the age of up until what point the kanta could be yoytze with the food of his mother, is kabar arba kabar chamish. Here you have a mafurish braisa that says kabar shesh. So for sure tiyufta the Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi. Talking about layman to have a tiyufta Rav Asi. At first glance, it sounds like a tiyufta the Rav Asi as well. What did Rav Asi say? Rav Asi said a cotton that's 6 years old. So the halacha is he's yoytze be'erev imay. Now Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi Ravidi said a whole pshat in what Rav Asi means, but we just said tiyufta Rabbi Shua bar Yehudi Ravidi, which means we have to go back to what we originally thought Rav Asi meant, which is Rav Asi is discussing the age up until what point a cotton can still be yoytze with the food of his mother, and what's the age? 6. So what's the shaila? Whether this is a tiyufta or not a tiyufta, right? Lema to have a tiyufta. There's two tzadim in the Gemara. What are the two tzadim? Because what did the Braisa say? Katan shatzarach le'imo yoytze be'erevimai ad ben sheish. It's the right number. Rav Asi said 6, and the Braisa also said 6. But what's the difference? The Braisa says ad ben sheish. Rav Asi said katan that's a ben sheish. Ad ben sheish means until he turns 6. Once you turn 6, happy birthday, you're done. Ben sheish means you're 6 years old. You have a whole other year. So the Gemara says, is it a tiyufta? What would be the other tzad? What the Gemara says, Amalach Rav Asi, no. Could be Adva Ad Bechlal. Maybe Ad Ben Sheish of the Braisa means not Adva Loy Ad Bechlal. Adva Ad Bechlal. Up until 6, including that whole year of after you turn 6. Ok, the Gemara, let me tell you, Tufte Rav Yanni Verish Lakish. Okay, so it's for sure Tufte, the Rav Yishua Barad Idi, because Rav Yishua Barad Idi said 4 or 5. It could be a Tufte on Rav Asi, but it could be not a Tufte on Rav Asi. Because even the Rav Asi said 6, and the Braisa said up until 6, maybe it's Adva Ad Bechlal. So up until 6 means also 6. But the Gemara says, what about Rav Yanni Verish Lakish? Is it a Tufte the Rav Yanni and Reish Lakish, or is it not a tiyufta Rav Yanni and Reish Lakish? Now, first class, you can say, of course, it's a tiyufta Rav Yanni and Reish Lakish. Rav Yanni and Reish Lakish said, explaining the braisa of katan shetzarech lima yoytze be'erev imay, which ain't tzarech lima ain't yoytze be'erev imay, and it came up with ways of knowing, and it boiled down to a number, which was 4 or 5, which is clearly not the braisa. The braisa said up until 6, but the Gemara says no. It could be it's not a tiyufta Rav Yanni like Kasha, because had the isay avuya b'masa, had the loy isay avuya b'masa. It could be the two Braises are talking about two different children. One is a child who has his father with him, and the other is a child where his father's not b'masa, he's out of town. The father's not with him. If the child has his father, so then he's not tzarech li'imoy already once he turns 4 or maybe even 5. If he doesn't have his father, then he's still going to be tzarech li'imoy until he's turned 6. So it could be the Braisa of Aleph, the Rav Yanni Reish Lakish be Mefarish is talking about where his father was there. His father was there, so once he's 4 or 5, he doesn't need his mother anymore. As a result, so it can't be Yoytzen with the Mazin Shtei Sudas on the mother. The Braisa of Beis that says up until 6 is talking about where his Ein tzarech li'imoy. So the Gemara says, as a result, it's not necessarily tiyufta the Rav Yanni and Reish Lakish. Before we go vaita, just one other pshat tava that Rashi speaks out. And that is, I mean, it's obvious, it jumps off the page, the Ha'ara. The Gemara said that Rav Yanei Reish Lakish are not necessarily tiyufta. Why? Because you could always make an akimta. Had the Isa Avuya B'masa, had the Lo Isa Avuya B'masa. Maybe they're talking about two different things. So why was Rav Shua B'Reid Ravidi a tiyufta? What did Rav Shua B'Reid Ravidi do? All he said was, is he was trying to reconcile Rav Asi and the Braisa. That Rav Asi was talking about the mother and the father schlepping him in other directions, and the Braisa is talking about up until what age he can be yoytze with the mother. What's the age? 4 or 5? Fate the Gemara, I have a Braisa that says 6. Checkmate. Tiyufta, why is it tiyufta? Say the same akimta. The Braisa is talking about whether there's a father, and the other Braisa is about whether there's no father. So, Rashi, I'll tell you why you can't say it in Rav Yishua B'Reid Ravidi. Because Rav Yishua B'Reid Ravidi held of this chilik. Then why did Rav Shua Rav Edi had to come on to a Shtekel Torah to say Pshat in Rav Asi, who was not like the Braisa, say Pshat in Rav Asi, who had a different number that Rav Asi was talking about, where there was no father. And because there's no father, that's why the number is 6. If that's going to be Pshat in this Braisa, then why couldn't that have been Pshat in Rav Asi? So from the fact that Rav Yishua B'Reid Rav Edi answered the stira between Rav Asi and the Braisa with a whole shtickle Torah, where the father wants him to go tzofen and the mother wants him to go darim, and that's what Rav Asi was talking about. So he's saying, Meris, he had no other way out. He wasn't noches to a chiluk between a tata or the nar tata. And as a result, tiufta, Rav Shua Breda, Rav Yudit tiufta. Because if that's not a svara, then how are you going to be miyashav this braisa with this svara? Rav Yani and Rish Lakish never got involved in Rav Asi. They would just be mefarish the braisa. So Zokti Gemara, could be. From the way they were mefarish the braisa, it's a steerer to this braisa. Because they said 4 or 5, here we have a braisa that's 6. Could be not. Maybe they were talking about whether there was no father, or whether there was a father. That's why it's a younger age. However, if there's no father, so maybe the child is still going to be telling the mother at an older age. A pshat, tava Gemara, but very geschmack. Tanu Rabbanu, invite them. Arabanu Aydei, Benoi, Ubitei Aktanim. A person can make an Erev for his children that are Aktanim. So we're talking about now where you're going to have to put up Mazin Shtei Sudas on behalf of every child. We're not talking about the child not needing to contribute. That's not the discussion. The discussion is something else. I'm the father of the house. I want to go in a certain direction. Can I schlep my children along, or do I need to ask them permission? Right? Does a father have to ask his child permission? But halachically, does he have to, or does he not have to? That's what this Bryce is discussing. So if the child is a katan, you don't have to ask him. If you have an eved, kanani, shivcha kananis, also you don't have to ask. Meaning ben either way, you're allowed to avle. In a matter of loy, if you have an eved, if you have then you have to ask permission. If your children are gdoilim, you have to ask permission. And additionally, your wife, you certainly have to ask permission. So you can't just force them into an Erev Tchumen. Again, it's not a question of a Shalom Bayis. Should you ask, should you not ask? This is a halacha question. Do you need their das in order to make an Erev Tchumen on their behalf? Is the Erev Chal, is there a Kinyan Shvisa, or is there not Kinyan Shvisa? Ketanim, you don't need their das. Gedoylin, your wife, you need their das. Tan Yidach, another Bryce, says a very similar halacha, which adds a Kinesh. You can't be Ma'ariv for your gedoyim, by day after shchasu ivrim, by day ishtoy, or for your wife, elam idaitan. Avol ma'aruf by day after shchasu aknanim, by day b'noy b'tei aknanim, bein l'daitan, bein shaloy l'daitan. Why? Mipnei sheyadin ki yadai. So literally verbatim, although flipping the resha and the seifa of the two brises, but it's word for word the two brises. But this second brisa continues. It says, "V'kulan she'irvu, in the event that you made an eruv, v'irev aleihem, and you also they themselves made an eruv." Again, v'kulan she'irvu, if, let's say, your wife, they made an eruv, v'irev aleihem, and you made an eruv for them. So the halacha is, yoytzin, v'irev aleihem rabban, yoytzin b'shal rabban. So they have to go with their Rebbe's eruv, chutz mino isha, with the exception of the wife. If she made an eruv, and the husband made an eruv, because she could be moicha. Faith Gemara, Isha, Maishna. It sounds like there's something unique about an Isha. What would be unique about an Isha? Meaning there were two categories. There were of dependence. There were categories of dependence where you can do it for them, shalom midaitam. And then there's a category that depends you can do it midaitam. Then the price says, what would be if they made an Erev and you made an Erev? They would follow you with the exception of your wife. Why your wife? It should be your wife and that whole group. What was the group? Your older children and your Eved Ivri. So shouldn't they be all included? So the Gemara says, yeah, Amar Rabba Isha v'chol de damilo. Itaka means that entire group. Amar chutz mino Isha mitneshi yechaylo limchos. So a wife is able to be moicha. Meaning, if your wife made an eruv and you made an eruv, so the halach is that she does her own thing. She doesn't become forced into your eruv because she could be moicha. So the Gemara is going to make a deal. Time of the machi. It sounds like she would have to be moicha. Hastama nafkim de bailo. Meaning, it sounds a little bit like if you make an eruv for your wife, really she's included in your eruv. It's chal de eruv. Narvas, she has the right to be Meicha. But let's say she's not Meicha. It sounds like she's going to be included in the Erev. But the Gemara says, Tani Reisha, look at the Reisha. Elami Daita. Reisha wasn't mashba that way. The Reisha sounded like that you need their Das. It's a little bit of a stira. Needing their Das suggests that if you do it and they don't protest, it's still not going to be okay. Because you need conscious Das on their behalf, this group, in order for it to work. Then it says, no, they could just be Meicha. So the Gemara says, when we said, Midaita, my love, the Amri, in... Doesn't it sound like they said yes, meaning they proactively went and said it's okay? Loi, the Gemara says, "My elam midaitem dishtiku," means they were quiet. Lafuk eich da amri loi, as opposed to saying no. But the Gemara says, "Of a kulan she'irvu v'ir valeim rabban yoytzim mishol rabban v'stamahu v'ktani chutz mina ishad loi nafki." How could you tell me that stama is not okay? That stama is fine, meaning if you do it, and they just not moicha, it's going to work. What was the example of the braisa? The example was where she made an Erev, you made an Erev, and the halach is she goes with her own Erev. Now, she never protested to your Erev, so if she never protested to your Erev, so adarabu, then it's stama, she should go with your Erev. Amar Rava says, no, it's just she never protested. She didn't picket. She didn't hang up a sign. But at the same time, she went and made her own Erev. Making your own Erev is the gress de macha. Ein lecha michui gadol mizeh, from making an Erev. But either way, that's the discussion in the Gemara, whether someone that you can't be ma'ariv for, I mean, you can't force them into your Erev, does that just mean that if they're meicha, or does that mean that you would need their consent? This was the discussion of the Gemara. Exhale. So, two ha'aras as it relates to today's daf. And that is, the Gemara said, Amar Rav Yosef, Ein ma'arvin elo l'dvar mitzvah. If you want to make Erev Tchumen, the only time you can make Erev Tchumen is if it's for a dvar mitzvah. So the Gemara said, Maikam Ashmolan. At first glance, it would seem so obvious. Tonina, the Mishnah said, that what's an example of a person that could be mishtatef in Eruv Tchumen? Someone that has to go to a base oval, or someone that has to go to a base mishnah. To go to a base oval is a mitzvah, and to go to a base mishnah is a mitzvah. So isn't it clear from the Mishnah that Ein ma'arvin elo l'dvar mitzvah? So the Gemara says, no, because ma'al d'teim, I would have thought Urkha the Mosik. Maybe the Mishnah is just giving examples. Yeah, what does a Yid do? A Yid goes to do a mitzvah. And that's probably why he would want an Erev Tchumen. But Mehecha Tesi, it has to be that way. Kamashmon, that was Rabbi Yosef's Chiddush, that Ein Ma'arvin Elo L'dvar Mitzvah. And the truth is that this halach of Ein Ma'arvin L'dvar Mitzvah came up a few times in Masechtas Erevin. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mechaber, in Erech Chaim, Simon Tov Tes Vav, 415, we paskin that the only time a person can use an Erev Tchumen is if it's Ledvar Mitzvah. It's because of this Hanacha of Ein Ma'arvin Elo Ledvar Mitzvah that we had a Shittas Rabbi Yehuda a few times in Masechtas Erevin that holds that a person can place his Erev Tchumen even on a Beis HaKfaris. It's very big Chiddush because you're not allowed to benefit from a kever. And if you're not allowed to benefit from a kever, how could you put a Erev Tchumen on top of a kever? You're inevitably having anah because it's allowing you now to extend how far you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. So you're being netted from something you're not allowed to be netted for. The teretz is, being that Ein Ma'arvin Elo L'dvar Mitzvah, so that anah that you're having is anah, it's mitzvah, mitzvah slav l'honis nitnu, Rosh Hashanah daf chav ches. But the point is, Ein Ma'arvin Elo L'dvar Mitzvah. Tosfos, on the bottom of the Yom, Dibra Maskel, Katon ben Shesh Yotze be'erev imoy asks a geshmak akashin. The good chunk of today's daf discuss the halacha of an erev tchumen for a katon. A katon can be mishtatif in an erev tchumen. The question is, does he need to contribute on his own? Does he have to have his own mazon shtei sudos? Or maybe he could be yotze be'erev imoy. Is he six? Is he not six? Is he in the sixth year? Up until four? Up until five? Where's the father in the picture? So this was all what was discussed in Masechtas Erevin Daf Pei Beis. I'm afraid to say kasha that if Rabbi Yosef's gerech that ein ma'arvin el ledvar mitzvah. So what's the tzad that a katon could even be included in an erev tchumen? A katon is not a bar mitzvah. He's not mechuyev a mitzvahs. So if a katan is not mechuyev a mitzvahs, freik toisvahs akasha, that it should be poshut then, that a katan should not be able to be included at all in an Erev Tchumen. Yeah, we have a whole sugya that's discussing some of the finer points of including a katan in an Erev. Clearly implying that a katan could be included. Freik toisvahs akasha, if ein ma'arvin elo l'dvar mitzvah, a katan's not chayev a mitzvahs, how could a katan be included in Erev Tchumen? Says toisvahs to Terusin. First teres toisvahs says, it's very practical. He says, what are you going to do? If the father and the mother need to go somewhere and they need to make an Erev Tchumen. They couldn't find a babysitter. What are they supposed to do with the child? What's the Erev Tchumen going to help someone that has young children at home? Must be, and therefore Chazal said that even though it's true, really Erev Tchumen should only pass for a Dvar Mitzvah, and a Katan's not Shaykh in a Mitzvah, but practically speaking, and there's a concept, sometimes you have to take the Taf, sometimes you have to take the children, that's why the children would be included, even the Erev Tchumen. Inami says, Tais another terrace. He says, could be, even though a Katan doesn't have a Mitzvah, but a parent has a Mitzvah to be Mechanech his child, so if the father's going to a Dvar Mitzvah, he's going to a Beis Avel, he's going to a base mishta, he's going to do a mitzvah. He's allowed to take his child. You know why? Valdas is echet a mitzvah. Bringing the child is a key of mitzvah. What's the key of mitzvah? The father's mitzvah that he has, chanoich lenara pidar kegam kiyasabi menu, he has the mitzvah of chinuch. Either way, this is toisis on the bottom of that base, on the aleph. It's a very important toisis. Reb Kivegin Gilyan Ashas is mitzayin the trumas hadeshen. That's also very important, but unfortunately we don't have time to talk about it now. But just one ha'ara as it relates to toisis, and that is, we know that a katan is potem in our mitzvahs. Reb Aaron, the Shiva Zatzal, in Mishnas Reb Aaron, and this is in Chelek Dalet, it's page Zion, And this shtickle, it's called Mitzvahs Talmud Torah Bekatan Ubeisha. It's Yisoidei HaYisoides. It's a drasha that he gave at a bar mitzvah. The Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman Shlita, told me that this drasha that Rabbi Aaron gave, he gave at his bar mitzvah. So this was Rabbi Aaron's pshetel that he gave at Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman's bar mitzvah. Very, very long. Hafoichba, Hafoichba, the Kulabot. We spoke out a part of it in Masechtas Nida. But there's one knech that's, I think, maybe relevant to this discussion. And that is, Rabbi Aaron started the shmuz, yesh lehistapik. If a katan does a mitzvah, obviously he's not mechuyev to do the mitzvah. But let's say he does the mitzvah. Is it considered that he did a mitzvah? Or is it not considered that he did a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah or not? L'may nafkamina? No more. Can he make a bracha? Could he make a bracha? Rabbeinu Tam Shita is that even someone that's not mechuyev to do a mitzvah, but if he does the mitzvah, he makes a bracha. For example, if a woman sits on a sukkah, so the Ashkenazim who follow the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam make a bracha. Why? Even though it's a mitzvah, esesh hazman gerama, so nashim are really potter, but at the same time, you make a bracha when you do a mitzvah, even if you weren't chayev to do the mitzvah. Another nafkamina would be if a katan does a mitzvah, would he get schar? Albeit like an ena mitzvah vaysa. If when a katan is potter mit a mitzvah, it means zay mitzvah is nish kai mitzvah, he can't make a brachas on mitzvahs, it's a brachal of atal. He also won't get any schar, even like an ena mitzvah vaysa. If, however, his mitzvah is a mitzvah, he's just not mechuyev to do it, so he can make a brachas on mitzvah, just like nashim can make brachas on mitzvahs, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who hold that nashim that are potter for mitzvahs, eshe shazman garam are at least allowed to make a mitzvah. Additionally, the katan will get schar, like an ena mitzvah vaysa. So Rabbi Aaron says, l'chayra, yesh loymar, that this shayla is totally in another major shaila that's discussed in many sugis and shas, and that is mitzvahs tzrichas kavana or mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. When a person does a mitzvah, does he have to have kavana? I'm doing a mitzvah, or the maisa mitzvah in and of itself without any kavana is considered a mitzvah. If you hold mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, then yesh loymar, even though a katan could do the physical act, but the katan's mufka from kavana. And being that a katan is mufka from kavana because he's not a bar das, mitzvah tzrichas kavana, he could do the act from today till tomorrow, but it's not considered that he did a mitzvah. If he didn't do a mitzvah, he can't make a brachas on mitzvah. If he didn't do a mitzvah, he shouldn't get schar, even like an ena mitzvah vaysa. If your whole mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, said Rabbi Aaron, then yesh loymar, that a katan's mitzvah is going to be a mitzvah. Either way, this was Rabbi Aaron's pilpul, the first part of it, anyways. Whether a katan that does a mitzvah, is it considered a maitzah mitzvah, or is it not considered a maitzah mitzvah? The punchline that Rabbi Aaron was leading up to is, and this is very famous in the name Rabbi Aaron, was as kasha the Chazal say, eino oilam niskayim ela b'shvil hevel p'yam shel tinoikin shel beis rabim. And Rabbi Aaron's kasha was that if you're going to tell me mitzvah tzrichas kavana, which Rabbi Aaron said means that when a katan does a mitzvah, it's not even a mitzvah, he's not even going to get schala gen eino mitzvah b'vayso. So how is it possible that the world is niskayim on the hevel p'yam shel tinoikin shel beis rabim? It's nothing. It's not even Talmud Torah. It's a Maisa Koif Ba'alma. Bishloima, if when a cotton does a mitzvah, at the very least he gets schar, like an Eina Mitzvah Vaisa. See, he's not mechuyev to do the mitzvah, but at the very least when he does it, does haste that he did a mitzvah. So I understand why it is a chashivas to it. So, Ein Oilam Eskayim, Ela Mitzvah Hevel Pim, Shalti Neikin Shabbis Rabbim, Hevel. It's a chiddush, fine. But we could understand it at least. But said Rabbi Aaron, that if you're going to tell me that when a katan does a mitzvah, it's not even a mitzvah, so it's nothing. So if it's nothing, you can't make a bracha on it. There's no schalikeh mitzvah. How could the oilam be niskayim on Torah versus nish talmud Torah? So Rabbi Chaim was meichich from here that this idea that the world stands on Torah had garnished Satan with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Satan with the heftz of Talmud Torah. And he says, when a katan learns Torah, it's true he's not mekayim a mitzvah. Oh, but Torah idos, yeah. Torah does, yeah. And in that way, Torah is chalik from other mitzvahs. Dvarim niflam, adlam oid, dvarim yuduim. But this is not for today. But hamia, so I was thinking, that according to Rabbi Aaron Saad, that when a katan does a mitzvah, he gets schar, albeit he gets schar like an ena mitzvah v'voisa. Because even a katan that does a mitzvah, it is considered a mitzvah. So yesh loymar pasha. A katan is not a bar mitzvah. You know what that means in that Saad in Rabbi Chaim's Chakira, that he declared at the drasha of the bar mitzvah, Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman Shlita. And what it means is he's not mechuyev to do mitzvahs. But if a katan does a mitzvah, it's considered a mitzvah. One thing is clear, that even though Rabbi Yosef said, ein ma'arven elo l'dvar mitzvah, but the threshold of dvar mitzvah as it relates to Erev Tchumen is much lower than the threshold of dvar mitzvah in other areas in halacha. So what do you need to have in order for something to be constituted as a dvar mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Again, simin tov tes vav sub katan aleph. Ein ma'arven eruv tchumen elo l'dvar mitzvah. Kagoyin, shayaroitza leilich lebeis ha'ovah. Oyla beis hamishta shal nesuin. Oyla hakbil pnei rabbi. His rebbe's in another town. He wants to go visit his rebbe. Oy chaveroi. He has a chaver that he wants to talk and learning with. He wants to go to him. The halach is ukayoytzebeil. Anything similar to that, that's enough of a mitzvah for you to be able to make an erev tchum. The Rama adds, he says, oysheroytzo leilech letayel. He wants to spatzir beyantiv oy shabbos bepardes in the garden. Sheyesh poy simcha bazer, because he has a simcha in it, and it's yantiv. And v'samachta bechagecha shabbos. Maybe there's also a mitzvah of simcha. It sounds like umikri dvar mitzvah. That would be considered a dvar mitzvah. The bottom line is that for someone to go talk and learning with his friend, someone to be mekabel his rebbe, even beis avol and beis mishta, that's enough for it to be. Rama says to spatzir on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? Because it's Yontif. The weather's nice. You want to go out and you want to walk far. You even want to go outside the tchum. That's enough to satisfy Rabbi Yosef's criteria of ein ma'arvin ela ledvar mitzvah. I think it's pashut. All these things that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, these are mitzvahs chiyuvis. These are things you have to spatzir on yontif outside of the tchum because it's yontif and the weather's nice. Of course not. Even a beis avol and a beis mishta, it's a mitzvahs chiyuvis. You have an obligation. First of all, it's a mitzvah derabbanon. But even on the derabbanon level, it's a mitzvah's essay. You have a chiyuv. Your friend's making a chasana. You have a chiyuv to go to the chasana. I don't know. Could be you do. To be mekabel pnei harav when he's outside the tchum, it's a mitzvahs chiyuvis. I think these things are mitzvahs in the sense you're mekayim a mitzvah when you do them. Tefillin is a mitzvah chiyuvis. Krishma is a mitzvah chiyuvis. When a sukkah is to take dalad minim and to sit in a sukkah is a mitzvah chiyuvis. I don't know if these are mitzvah chiyuvis. That mitzvah chiyuvis, these are things you get a mitzvah. When a cotton does a mitzvah, a mitzvah chiyuvis. He just doesn't have a chiyuv. But I think it sounds a little bit like from the examples that Chazal and the Shulchan Aruch are giving for what the definition of ein ma'arvin elo dvar mitzvah is it doesn't necessarily have to be a dvar mitzvah in the mitzvah's chiyuvit sense. Very, very low threshold. So if you're going to tell me that when a cotton does a mitzvah, he's not even mekayim a mitzvah. So you're right, I understand Tosfos kasha. A cotton has no shaychus to keep my mitzvahs. But Aaron had it said that when a cotton does a mitzvah, even though it wasn't mechuyev to do it, but when he does it at the very least, he's not worse than when a woman sits in a sukkah where she hears tchiyah shofar, where at the very least she's mekayim a mitzvah. Because even though she's ain't a mitzvah voice, but she gets a mitzvah. So much so Rabbeinu Tam said that she can even make a bracha. If a cotton's the same way, so why should the cotton's mitzvah's kiyumis, why is the cotton's relationship to this mitzvah that much different than the gadol's relationship to this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah's kiyumis for the gadol, a mitzvah's kiyumis for the cotton. Either way, just the ha'ara, the shtaltzur of Aaron's chakira, as it relates to Tais, that's the first ha'ara. The second ha'ara is that the Mishnah said, that what's an example of someone that can make an Erev Tchumen? Somebody that says that he wants to go to a Beis Avel or to a Beis Mishta. Right? L'lechas to Beis Avel or to go to a Beis Mishta. I saw the Ritva on this Gemara asks that why would the Mishnah mention first Beis Avel and then Beis Mishta? It's a little morbid. Shouldn't we say first Beis Mishta and then Beis Avel? As I freak the Ritva. Says the Ritva, the hikdim avel beis hamishta. We mentioned beis avel to beis mishta, mishum dechsev toiv lo leches al beis avel, milaches al beis mishta. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Toiv lo leches to beis avel, lebeches beis mishta. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. It says first beis avel and then beis mishta because it's an idea of toiv lo leches al beis avel, milaches beis mishta. I was thinking, the Marsha in Chedushi HaGadis, in Masechtes Ksubis, Dafayim Beis. So the Marsha talks a little bit about this idea of Toiv Lo Lechas Abeis Avel, Mi Lechas Abeis Mishnah. And says the Marsha, that even though of course it's a very sharfa musar in this pasuk, right? What Shlomo HaMelech say? He said, it's better to go to a Beis Avel than to go to a Beis Mishnah, Ba'asher Hu Soif Kal Adam. Because when it's all over, it's not going to be a Beis Mishnah. Unfortunately, it's going to be a Beis Avel. And like this, when you go to a Beis Avel, you get a Hesiris, Yichap Ahir Tshuva. And that's the idea. V'achayitin Alibay. That's why Toiv Lo Lechas HaBeis Avel, Mi Lechas HaBeis Mishnah. But the Marsha, in his Chedushi HaGadis, in Masechtes Ksubis, says that I think it's Pashit, that even though Shlomo HaMelech said better go to a Beis Avel than to go to a Beis Mishnah, that's if the Beis Mishnah is a Mishnah Shal Rishos. But if the Beis Mishnah is a Mishnah Shal Simcha, like a Chasana, or something that's a mitzvah, of course the mitzvah of going to Beis Mishta takes precedence over the mitzvah of going to Beis Avel. So you'll say Mehechateisi. So the Marsha says, I think it's a Gemara Masechtes Ksubis, where the Gemara says that if a person has an opportunity to go to be Malava Meis, or for Ketzim Ragdin Lifnei Akala, so to go to the Chasana, that comes first. So he says, you see that when it comes to a Beis Mishta, Shal Mitzvah, that's different. But either way, that's the Marsha. I saw that the Iyun Yaakov, of course, that's the Baal Shvus Yaakov, who wrote a pirish on the Iyun Yaakov. So the Iyun Yaakov brings this mashal there in Perek HaMadr, Ksubas Tafayim Bezim and Aleph, and he says that I think that it was Nelam from the Marsha, few Mar Mekoymas. He says, Toysvus and Masachtas Megillah. He brings the Rambam's Lashon in Perek Yedalad and Hilchas Avel. He says that I think I even found a Medrash in Avel Rabasi Perek Yudbeis, which is not mashal like the Marsha. It's mashal Toyvul Lachas Abbeis Avim, Lachas Beis Mishtah, is even if it's a Mishtah Shal Simcha. Either way, this was the Marsha's Chiddush. That Toyvul Lachas Abbeis Avim, Lachas Beis Mishtah is only true if it's a mishnah shal reshus, but if it's a mishnah shal simcha, toiv lachas beis mishnah milachas beis avil. And the Shvus Yaakov in his Iyun Yaakov commented, he says, I have three mar mekoymos not that way. I have a Tosfos, I have a Rambam, and I even think I have a Medrash, an Avil Rabasi. Ulai, this Ritva is also another Marim Malkim from one of the Rishonim, not like the Marsha. Because the Ritva was explaining our Mishnah. The Mishnah said first Beis Avil and then Beis Mishnah. And said the Ritva, why? L'chayru say first Beis Mishnah and then Beis Avil. Oh, the Teretz is, Toiv l'lechas l'Beis Avil m'lechas l'Beis Mishnah. Now the Beis Mishnah in our Mishnah is Zichat Var Mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Ein ma'arvin elul advar mitzvah. Zok the Gemara Tanina. It's the Mishnah. Beis Avil and Beis Mishnah. So in our Mishnah, Saida Beis Avil and Saida Beis Mishnah are both dvar mitzvah. And afal pikein, it's very clear in the Mishnah that the Mishnah said that toiv lo leches el Beis Avil and milachas Beis Mishnah. That was the Ritva's dig. So l'chure, this Ritva, you see again that toiv lo leches el Beis Avil and milachas Beis Mishnah is true not only for a Mishnah shel reshus, but it's true even for a Mishnah shel mitzvah, like the Marim Mekoymos that the Iyun Yaakov quoted in his and Yaakov in Perek HaMadr. But I was thinking, just because this week was a very intense week of Rei, just to end on a little bit of a lighter note. So just one Ha'ara that ties together the Rei that we've been talking about today and this week's Parsha. That is, the Rashi says on that Pasuk, Toiv lo leches al beis avel, mi leches le beis mishta. So Rashi says an interesting pshat. Now the Makar Tarashi is really a Gemara in two places. That Gemara we just mentioned, Ksubas Tafayim Beis, Ma'in Kon Daf Chavches, Aber, the Pshat that Rashi says is very much not like the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Rashi says, you know why a person should go to the Beis Avil rather than to go to the Beis Mishta? Because if a person is going to go to a Beis Avil, he's going to realize, he's going to internalize the idea that V'hacha Yitin Elibay. And he's going to realize that one day he's going to die. And when he dies, he's not really going to have anyone to take care of him. So what he should then do is he should take care of and help other people that are avelim. So like this, when he's an avel, he will be taken care of as well. It's an interesting reason to go to the Beis Avel. You know why you should go to the Beis Avel? So like this, people are going to go to you. Because at the end of the day, that's how the world works. So if you're going to go to people's Beis Avel, then one day, when Rachmana Litzlan, it's your time, people are going to come to you. And that's the Vachayit and the Libra of the Pasuk. That you should do chesed with other people. So like this, people will do chesed for you. So it bothered me a little bit. This is counterintuitive 100% to what we know, the whole concept of a chesed shel emes. Right, the idea is chesed that people do with the mason is fakir. The aside of it is a chesed shel emes. And here when Mamash going in the opposite direction. No, do chesed with the mace like this. One day they're going to do it for you. Like you should be thinking about it already while you're alive. You should be bavarding. That's what Chesed Shel Emes is. So just to digress a little bit, this is the light part. As it relates to Chesed Shel Emes, a little bit an understanding of the pnimius of what a Chesed Shel Emes is. So in this week's parasha, Hashem comes to Avram Avinu. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'meladetcha me'beis avicha elo oretz asher arecha. And the pasuk says, a few psukim later, Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishtoi ves loit benachiv ves kol ruchusha masher rochashu ves hanefesh asher asu b'charim vayetzu l'leches artzakinan vayavoyu artzakinan. So Hashem came to Avram, it was a big nesayim for him to leave his house, even though where he was going. He said, alo oretz asher arecha. It's not like he was able to punch into waves exactly where he was going to go, take the quickest route. He had no idea where he was going. Alo oretz asher arecha. So much so that Ramban asked that had Avram Avinu know to go to Eretz Kanan. He started going to Eretz Kanan. He had got it right, but the Ramban's bothered. He struggles in the beginning of the parasha to understand how Avram Avinu knew that that's where he was supposed to go. But Avram Avinu heard, and he said, Hineni. Vayikach Avram. Avram took, he took the whole rechush. He took his wife Sarai. He took his nephew Lloyd. Ves kol rechush ha'mashash rechush. He took all his money. Ves ha'nefesh ha'sha'asa b'chom. And he took all the people that he had created in Char. Now we know Avram Avinu had no children. So Rashi says, who were the ha'nefesh ha'sha'asa b'charon? So Rashi, these were the people shech nisun tachas kanfei ha'shchino. These were the people that Avram Avinu had been mekarev. Because Avram migayir eso anosh. The Sarah Megayeres Es Anoshim. Avraham Avinu was involved in Geiris. He was being Megayer the Anoshim. Sarah was doing the same thing. She was being Megayeres the Anoshim. If someone's Bekar of another Yid, then it's as if you created the person. So who were the Vanevich Asha'asu Becharim? These were the people that Asha'asu, Lashon Rabim, Avram, and Sarah. Avram was Megayeres Anoshim. Sarah Megayeres Es Anoshim. These were the people that Avraham Avinu had been Bekar. And the truth is, this was very much Avraham Avinu's legacy. Avraham Avinu was very involved in going out and spreading the word of Hashem. Avraham Avinu was a Yachid B'dayri. He was called Avraham Avinu because Kol Olam Eiver Echad V'Avraham Eiver Hasheni. And Avraham Avinu recognized something that nobody else seemed to get. People were worshipping the star and the moon. They were pagans. And Avraham Avinu came to realize the concept of monotheism, and he decided he wanted to share it with everybody. And he was very successful. And these were the Anevich HaShas B'charon that the Pasuk is referring to over here. So why was it that Avraham Avinu was the one that was involved in Vanefesh HaShas B'charim? More so than Yitzchak and Yaakov. The truth is, this Chazal is that Yitzchak and Yaakov were also involved. But why was Avraham Avinu involved more than Yitzchak? Yes, I think the Pasha reason is because Avram was the first one. Avram had to. I mean, there was no one else doing it. Once Avram Avinu did it, so, you know, Yitzchak and Yaakov, maybe they were able to, you know, rely on some of the work that had already been done. But I think the reason, the answer is much, much deeper than that. It's very, very profound. The reason is, because what was Avram Avinu's midah? We know Avram Avinu served Hashem through a very, very specific medium. All the other Sakhtoishim served Hashem through a specific medium. Avram Avinu's medium was chesed. What Avram Avinu did was chesed. So if you ask somebody, what was the chesed Avram Avinu did? He says, oh, he had a tent. It was open on four sides. You were able to come in. And vayita esha. There was achila. There was shtia. You wanted a coffee. There was levaya. You were able to see. He took good care of you. Beginning of Parshas Vayera, Avraham Avinu sees three people, he comes, he takes good care. But the Gemara says that why did Avraham Avinu really do all this? Why did Avraham Avinu really do all this? The reason Avraham Avinu did it is because people would come in and they would thank Avraham Avinu for everything that he did. So Avraham Avinu would say, why are you thanking me? Thank Hashem. So Hashem? Who's Hashem? I don't even know who you're talking about. Who's Hashem? Who is Hashem? So Avraham Avinu would then start explaining to them who Hashem is. And before these people knew it, they were sitting in a discovery seminar and they were being told about the beginning of the universe and there was a blackboard and they suddenly came to be makir that there's a bari. The end game of Avraham Avinu's chesed was really to teach people that there's a bari olam. So it always bothered me. Avraham Avinu's essence was chesed. But really it turns out that Avraham Avinu's chesed was like a gimmick. It was all just a way for him to come to an end game, to accomplish something else that he was trying to accomplish. How do you understand that on a deep level? Avraham Avinu's essence is chesed. Yet, the chesed is not even real chesed. Coffee? It's not about the coffee. It's about the Torah. So I don't understand. Is it chesed or is the chesed just the hechatim? How could that be his essence? Oh, but the teretz is pashit. The teretz is the real chesed that Avraham Avinu did was that he was makarev people. And the reason is because he gave them purpose in life. The reason is because he gave them nitzchias. Because yafa kairis ruach mi'olam haba mikol hanois olam hazeh. So you can go and you can give a person a little bit of olam hazeh. It's very nice. It's beautiful. You get your mechazek yid. But at the same time, if you give a person olam haba, it's a nedoima. The distance between an olam hazeh chesed and an olam haba chesed is the distance between the pleasure of olam haba and the pleasure of olam hazeh. Yafa kairis ruach mi'olam haba mikol hanois olam hazeh. The real chesed of Avraham Avinu was the fact that Avraham Avinu was mekarev yidden. The chiddush of Avraham Avinu was that he did chesed al yidei chesed. His whole metzias was chesed. The real chesed was teaching people that there's an Eibishter. And v'loy tzrichim lavoid. But the chiddush was that he even did his chesed al yidei chesed. It was through a coffee, it was through giving you something nice, talking to you. That was Avraham Avinu's essence. But you want to know what the real chesed was? The real chesed was the chesed that he did by being makarev people. The reason Avraham Avinu was involved in Vanefesh HaShas B'charon is because Avraham Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. And if a Yid is going to think in terms of chesed, if you decide you want to be the biggest Baal Chesed in the world, you'd be Makarev Yidden. That's what you would do. Because that's the greatest Chesed in the world. Right? The Velt says that if you give someone a fish, you fed him for a day. You teach somebody how to fish, you fed him for a lifetime. If you give somebody Torah, you give somebody Yerushalayim, you fed him L'Netzach Netzachim. Right? It's Pashut. In Hilchis Chesed, there is no Chesed that can even come close to the chesed you can do if you're makarav a yid, if you bring a yid closer to Hashem. Avram Avinu woke up in the morning and he asked himself, what could I do now for other yidin? Ich vil ton chesed. That's Avram Avinu's, he's the pillar of chesed. Everything else is some diluted form of chesed. But the perfection of chesed, the shleimus of chesed, was the hanhog of Avram Avinu. What's the perfect chesed? The perfect chesed is vanefesh asha asa b'charim. The reason Avram Avinu was more involved in Vanefesh HaShos V'Charon more than Yitzchak and Yaakov is because Avram Avinu's Mida was Chesed more so than it was the Mida of Yitzchak and Yaakov. But either way, that's, I think, poshet why it was Avram Avinu V'Vanefesh HaShos V'Charon. What does it have to do with Chesed Shel Emes? What does it have to do with Chesed Shel Emes? The Chassam Sofer, one of his drashas, said something unbelievable. You know, the Chassam Sofer used to give a lot of drashas. That's why we have five volumes of drashas Chassam Sofer. But one of the times that the Chassam Sofer used to give drashas was on Lamed Beis Ba'omer. On the 32nd day of the Omer. And he used to give a drasha to the Chevra Kadisha. The Chevra Kadisha would come together, right? It's like Zayin Adar is a day that the Chevra Kadisha celebrate or they fast. But Lamed Beis Ba'omer was a day for the Chevra Kadisha. And he used to give a drasha for the Chevra Kadisha. So one of his, and his drasha was always about chesed, it was about chesed shalemes, and v'achayit in a liboy, tovel lechze beis sovim, lechze beis mishta. That was always the punchline. That's always what the Chassam Sofer was trying to do. He was trying to be mechazik them, this idea. And people used to come, and not everybody was allowed to come. But there were Talmid Chachamim, even outsiders, not necessarily Chevra Kadisha would come. And this was always a very, very special drasha. If you take a look in the drashas of the Ksav Sofer, he also gave drashas on chesed shalemes. I was looking through some of the drashas earlier today, so I saw the Ksav Sofer in one of his drashas said that his father used to always ask, why were the Chevra Kadisha called Chevra Kadisha? Kadisha is Milosh and Kedusha. He says, what do the Chevra Kadisha do? They're involved with Mesim. Mesim Atome, it's Thomas Mace. This is like the antithesis of Kedusha. This is not the Chevra Kadisha, it's the Chevra Tmeim. They're always Tome, Adam Kiyamas Boy, all the sugis of Thomas Mace. Right? This is the Tome of Mace, it's like the biggest Tome, Avi Avay Satome. And yet they were called the Chevra Kadisha. So listen to what the Ksav Sofer said. He said, the Chevra Kadisha, he said they were Tmeim Mibachutz. Every single time, he said, a member of the Chevra Kadisha goes and he takes a mace and he puts him into the ground, his guf becomes more Tome. He said, but his neshama becomes more Kaddish. This is what he said. And that's what they call Chevra Kadisha. Every single time they do a kfura, that's what he said. Every single time they do a kfura, he said, the guf becomes more Tame. Oh, but every single time they do a kfura, the neshama becomes more chelik. There's vachayit in Eliboy, there's the chesed shalemes, and they become more Kaddish. And he said, that's why they're called Chevra Kadisha. His father used to always ask this kasha. He said, with dust of the teretz, the guf always becomes more Tame, the body always becomes more Kaddish. By the way, these drushes are just so epic. This drush with the Chassam Sofer at the beginning, he's talking about Shemitah. It was Parashas Bahar B'Chukosai. Kisavayu ala aretz, v'shafsa aretz, Shabbos Lashem. This is what he says. He says, we know what's Shemitah. Shemitah is the land rest, right? V'shafsa aretz, Shabbos for the aretz. The land is going to rest. But the Chassam Sofer said that the land really has two jobs. The land has two jobs. One job that the land has is that the land, you're supposed to avoid the Kamachol Yisizra, etc., etc. That's what the land is. That's where you plant, that's where you chayrish, it's where you do all the seduri, the pas, all those avoidas. See, but the land has another tachlis. The land's job is that's where we bury people. When a person dies, you bury them in the land. So this is how the Chassam Sofer started this particular drasha in Tav Kuf Pei Tes for the Chevra Kadisha. So he told the Chevra Kadisha on Lamed Bayis Ba'omer, he says, we say, V'shavso Aretz Shabbos Lashem, there's going to be a day where it's going to be Obila Hamavis LaNetzach. He says, we know Mason anymore, and the Aretz is going to be able to rest. They're going to be able to rest, not going to have to do his job anymore. That job, that tafke that Hashem gave the Aretz, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Sa'aretz, and Aretz was given a job, a tafke, that one of your things you have to do is you have to house the mason. There's going to be a time of Ubila HaMavis LaNetzach. This is chizik from the Chassam Sofer. But this is what he told her. But anyways, in that rush, he says, so what's a chesed shel emes? What's the tifka? What's the premius atayr of chesed shel emes? This is what he said. He says, when a yid does chesed with another person, you give him something, you give him money, whatever it is, you do chesed. So what's the chesed, said the Chassam Sofer? He says, I'm asking you, what's the chesed? He said, what do you mean? You're mechazik a yid. He said, yeah, that's part of the chesed. But you know what the real chesed is? When you're mechazik a yid, you give him koyach to go weiter. You give him koyach to daven better, to learn better. You give him koyach to raise his family better. You give him koyach to be able to serve Hashem. If a person's in a compromised position, it's very hard for him to serve Hashem properly. When you're mechazik a yid, you give him the ability to go ahead and serve Hashem. He said, the real chesed of every chesed, of any little chesed, is all the punchline is the avodas Hashem that he now will be able to do better because of the chesed that you did. So the Chassam Sofer says, when you do chesed with a mace, la mesim chafshi. When a person dies, he'll never be able to do another mitzvah. That chesed will never result in more mitzvahs. And so because that chesed will never result in more mitzvahs, that's a chesed shalemus. Because that's not a real chesed. And that's why it's a chesed shalemus. Because really, the schar that a yid gets from doing chesed is the fact that he's being mechazik to yid. You're bringing him closer. You're strengthening his avodas Hashem. That's the punchline of every chesed. And that chesed you don't have with the mason. Because a mason will never be able to daven better. He'll never be able to shteig. It's not something he could do anymore. Kivin shemes, nafzi chavshim in ha-mitzvahs. So the Chassam Sofer said, that's the real chesed. That chesed has, there's no, you're not going to be paid for it. And because you're not paid for it, counterintuitively, that's why it's a chesed shalemus. So the chesed you get paid back for, that's not the chesed shalemus. It's a chesed, you're not going to be repaid, that guy's not going to repay you. Rashi Kehelis, now you can go, Toiv Alechaz HaBeisavel, be smart, plan for it. Adarav, like this people will take care of you. No mitzvah to have no one take care of you. Toiv Alechaz HaBeisavel, Shlema HaMelech, the wisest of all men is giving you advice. That's not the real chesed, that's the mashal of why it's called chesed shalemus. The Pnimius HaTorah, why is it really chesed shalemus? It's because the real chesed is being makar of people, bringing people closer to Hashem. And when a person does chesed with a mace, you don't have that component. Ikar chasim in a chesed. If it's ikar chasim in a chesed, so you're not really getting the reward. That's goofy why it's a chesed shalemus. Interesting. But either way, this is the point. Avram Avinu was Vanefesh Asha Asa B'charon. Why Avram more than Yitzchak and Yaakov? I think it's Pashit, because Avram Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. And because Avram Avinu was the Amud HaChesed, Avram Avinu understood, what's the greatest chesed that I could do? It's not to feed somebody, that too. But the greatest chesed you could do is Ves HaNefesh Asha Asa B'charon. And that's why Avram Avinu, the Amud HaChesed, his legacy that we learn from is Ves HaNefesh Asha Asa B'charon, Avram Megayeres HaAnashim, Vesorim Megayeres HaAnashim.